Hi, everybody, and welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you so much for joining me today on this podcast. Today's episode is going to cover a topic that came in as a request from a listener, and she had questions about what the experience is opening up to spirit, opening up to the spirit world in general, all the good experiences and some, I guess you can say, unpredictable experiences as well. And to kind of kick this call off, I wanted everybody to know I do have a lovely co-host joining me today. Her name is Jennifer, and she's a very strong and natural intuitive and psychic. And she's joining me today to talk to me about some of her experiences working with the spirit world. And Jennifer, say hi to the entire audience.
Fun, and thank you for having me.
So, Jennifer, I had some questions for you at the beginning. So what was it like when you were young, first, I guess you could say your first interactions or experiences with the spirit world?
Well, my first, I would say, interaction with the spirit world that I can remember was probably when I was around 5 or 6 years old, and I ended up getting in trouble by my nanny. So because I had a smart mouth as a five-year-old, I fired my nanny. And of course, my nanny told on me, and my mom got really upset at me. And so she sent me to my room, but I told her that I didn't want to live with her anymore. So my mother told me to basically go and pack my things. And if I don't want to live there anymore, then I'm more than welcome to leave her house. So because I was such a smart aleck, I went to the room and I grabbed a little briefcase, I packed some clothes, and I walked out the door. Obviously, I was only 5 years old. I didn't go anywhere. I literally sat in front of the door, and we lived in a two-story apartment complex. And as I was sitting there crying, I looked over to my right, and I saw spirits going in and out of every apartment complex. And it was like they were just going in and out, a bunch of them. So that was one of my first experiences that I can actually remember.
So when you were young, did you know that they were actual spirits, like maybe deceased spirits? Or did you think that they were people? Like, what were your first initial thoughts about what you saw?
So here's the thing is, to me, they looked very human-like. So they didn't look scary. They were, you know, wearing clothes like normal. The only difference between the way I saw them and the way I see actual people, human beings, you know, on Earth that are still alive, was that they were very illuminated. So it was like they were brighter. They just looked brighter than what we look like on a day to day. So that's pretty much how I saw them.
So when you say they look illuminated or brighter, do you mean that they still were in full body? It's just that maybe there was like a glowing light around them, or?
That's exactly what it was. They looked exactly the same, the way you and I would look. The only difference was that there was like a light shining through them. So it was they looked very bright.
And what about animals? Did you ever see, I guess, animals in the spirit world still here on Earth when you were younger?
Oh, I did. And actually, some of my experiences were when I was about 15, 16 years old. And I had a few friends that when I would go and spend the night at their houses, they would say, "Damn it, Jennifer, it's only when you're here that things like this happen." And so where we actually saw, it was nighttime, and we saw a cat go through a fence. And then there was another time where we were a little bit older, maybe 18 years old, because at that time my friend was driving, and we actually were coming back from a party, and we thought that we hit a dog. And so we stopped the car, and I remember that she got out of the car and she looked underneath because we thought we hit a dog. But there was nothing underneath the car, and we look over to the right, and of course the dog goes right through a door. So that was obviously a spirit dog. It wasn't a live dog. You know, it was a spirit dog that we thought we hit. So we did have a lot of, I had a lot of interactions with pets. Another one was when I, you know, at one point in my life, I worked for PetSmart, and I remember going as a groomer and I, as a dog groomer, and I remember going to the back and, you know, there was a dog back there. It was one of those Papillon dogs. It was black and white with the pretty big ears, and it was in a crate. And I remember going back to the front and I said, "Hey, so is that dog ready to get washed?" And my boss goes, "What dog?"
Oh my goodness.
Yes, it was. And let me tell you that when I see animals, they look like they're alive, not even like bright, not, there's no difference to what they look like here on earth or when they're spirits, you know, because it looked, I was in such shock when she told me there are no dogs back there.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. So those were some of my experiences with the pet world, I guess you could say, the pet spirit world.
So when you were younger, and you said, you know, you had seen early on as a kid spirits like in full form walking through doors, et cetera, and still kind of, I don't know if they're still living their life or, you know, maybe they don't know that they're dead or whatever. But when you started to get a little bit older, did you ever have any visitations, let's say, from spirits, whether you were like, I don't know, in your adolescent years or teenage years? Do you remember your first interactions with like deceased spirits, like when they came to visit you?
So as I started getting a little bit older, like I'm going to say around 12, 13 years old, at that point, I started becoming a little afraid of spirits. And I think it was more because I no longer would see them like whole, like, you know, like a whole person. I wouldn't see them that way anymore. It became more of like I would see parts of them. So when I would go to bed, I would kind of see like an arm or, you know, or a torso. And it was no longer the seeing a full body form. Every now and then, I do recall like maybe around 16, 17 years old, maybe 16 years old, where I saw an older woman in full form, and she was, she had her hand out, like she wanted me to take her hand or something. The only weird thing about it is that she was calling me by my mom's name. So it was like, yeah, this lady was like confusing me with my mom. She had gray hair. I can still remember it till this day. She was very pale, had gray shoulder length hair, very old lady, looked like she was wearing a kimono. And she had her hand out. She kept saying my mom's name. She kept calling my mom's name.
And you could only see like the hand or arm, and that's it?
You know, when
initially, or
that one time I actually saw, no, she was full human form. But around 14 and 15 is when they started kind of scaring me because I would only see it as like an arm or so it's like the way I would see them kind of changed over time.
So, okay. So at that time when you started having those types of experiences, did you know that they were dead people? Did you have that knowledge or awareness at the time that they were dead?
When I was 5 years old, I don't think I was aware that they were dead, but I know as I was getting older, I was very aware that they were spirits. They were not like, you know, alive on this earth at the time. They were definitely spirits. I knew it. I knew it because for one, it would always happen to me when I would go to bed. So the moment the lights would shut out, I would start seeing stuff. So I was that child that always had to sleep with either a nightlight on, or, and in my teenage years, I always slept with a candle on. And I remember that my mom, you know, she always thought it was my imagination, which is, you know, that's kind of hurtful to a child to be told that it's your imagination, you know, it's not real what you're seeing. And I think at around like age 15 was when I started sharing a room with my grandma, and she would see the same stuff that I did. And that's when my mom actually realized that what I was telling her was actually real, what I was seeing.
And after your mom realized that, did she Did she support you? Was she asking you questions about it? Was she scared of it, or?
You know, she was never scared of it, but she did. You know, as crazy as this sounds, I was always that scared, even as a teenager, I was scared to sleep in like my room by myself. So I always shared with somebody. And I remember at one point, I must have been like 16 or 17 years old, and I ended up like sleeping in my mom's bed with her. And because I have a little sister, my little sister is 13 years younger than me. I remember around that time that we had a bunch of like Sesame Street, stuffed animal. And it was like Big Bird. And it was like the talking Elmo. And she had them all in a net above her bed. And I remember that they would go off around 2, 3 a.m. anytime that I slept in her room. And so it became so normal to her for things to just be set off when I'm around people. You know, it became normal to a lot of my friends, too, that my mom would just get up and she would grab those toys and go throw them in a closet in the middle of her, you know, and she would just drag all the toys out and pull them in a closet. And the same with my friends. They were so used to hearing noises, creaks, seeing things with me, that it just became a part of who I am, I guess. And if you hang out with me, you're going to experience stuff, whether it was like flickering lights or, you know, you're going to see a deceased animal go through a door. it's just, you know, as crazy as that sounds, it was so real though, because I wasn't the only one seeing it. My friends got to experience it.
Right. Exactly. So, okay. So what's interesting is this. So as a child, and even like as you're a teenager, you're having all of these experiences with, if you want to call them ghosts, deceased spirits or whatever, constantly and becoming a part of your life. But one of my big questions is, so when you come onto this earth, is your channel, for lack of a better word, is your channel open so much, or is your spirit open so much already that, you know, the spirits can see that you already have these gifts? Are the doors already open to the spirit world and you don't have to ever really work for them? Like, is this just something that's very natural? Because as you know, there are people that we've even met who still are trying to open up, let's say, to the spirit world. So I'm always curious about, if you're having these experiences so much when you're younger, is it already just open naturally, like your channel?
I do kind of feel that you are already, your channel is already open from the moment you're born. And the only difference between back then and the way things are now with the kids being born now is that back then it wasn't so acceptable. And now it's more acceptable. So even with my kids, you know, at age 2, when my twins, I mean, I remember I had my sister watch them, all 3 of my boys one time, and she watched them from, you know, her house, and my kids were playing, you know, and they're 2 years old. And then my oldest was 4 years old, and they're all playing in the living room, and they kept looking in the bathroom. So my sister asked them, what do you keep looking at? What do you keep looking at? And so my kids apparently responded, oh, there's a man in your bathroom. And so the funny story is that my mom said that she was in the living room, and she said that my sister bolted to her room. She was so scared.
Oh my gosh.
and the way that they tell me this, you know, that my mom told me this story about when my sister was watching them, was that my kids were not afraid of it. It didn't stop them from playing. They said it very normal, like it was a part of their life, and it's just normal to see spirits. They basically just said, there's an old man standing in your bathroom right now. And they just continue to play like nothing. So I do feel like the channels are very much so open when you're born. And I think that, you know, kids now are more aware of their abilities. Like even my oldest, he's 9 years old, and he's very much so aware of his abilities and what he can do with them. My little ones, they're kind of still in that where they see stuff, they can hear stuff, but it bothers them. They're more annoyed by it as opposed to my oldest.
Gotcha. So I do have a couple of other questions based off of some of the things you said. So just going back to this, because I have some curiosity. So when you're, you know, in your early 20s and then moving into, I guess, even your early 30s, at what point did you sit down and say to yourself, I know for sure that I have, let's say, I know for sure that I have the ability to see spirit. I know for sure that I can hear them. I'm going to sit down and try to develop my gifts very well, like very strongly, so that I can use them. Like what point, like what did it take for you to really sit down and get to that point?
So, you know, as horrible as it sounds, I actually didn't actually sit down and want to develop this until I believe I was about 31 years old or 30 years old. And it took my grandma passing away for me to actually want to really open it up. I mean, I've always known I have, you know, mediumship to me and I can see spirits and I can hear them. And I remember going to a psychic and that psychic told me, you know, if you had a strong connection with your grandma here on earth, imagine how much stronger that'll be now that she's there on the other side. You know, you can really communicate with her and she can see things. And if you used to go to her for help when she was here, imagine how much she can do for you up there. And she would love to probably chat with you. And so at that point was where I really started to want to develop it, you know, and make it stronger. But before that, you know, I have to be honest, around 18, 19 years old, I was so afraid of my gifts. I was so afraid of spirit. I actually was so afraid of it that I used to have panic attacks. And that went on for like almost a year. And my friends actually watched me for a whole year just like cry and have anxiety about it because it was just too much for me. And so at that point, I remember that my spirit guide was trying to give me a gift. And I screamed so loud at my own spirit guide and I did not see my spirit guide again for many, many, many years. Now, the one thing that always stuck with me was that my intuition. I still always had the intuition where I knew if somebody got in front of me and they were a very negative person and they meant harm or they just, you know, something was off about them. I always had that gut feeling. I always had that hunch. I would always get the tense shoulders, just tension in my body. Just I felt icky whenever somebody came across that way. And I always kind of could sense when something was going to go wrong at a party. And I could always tell my friends, hey, you know what? Maybe we should sit back and not go because I feel like something's going to happen there. So I always had that. That never left me. The only thing that I feel like I blocked at that time was the ability to see spirits, ability to see them and hear them. I blocked it for many, many years and it didn't come back until about 31 years old. So, yeah.
So when you decided around like 31 years old to, you know, move back into opening up your gifts, what was it like for you opening that door? What were some of your experiences at the beginning?
Well, in the beginning, I mean, it was a little scary to me because I was opening myself back up to being able to hear spirits. And when I started to hear them again, it was like that whispering, you know, it wasn't very clear. It was I kind of felt like I heard it as if you and I are having a conversation and somebody's whispering my name. And so that kind of would creep me out. And I remember I would do this in my room and I would close my eyes and I would ground myself, you know, and I did this whole little ritual thing before I even opened up. And then the moment that I would hear my name, I would just shut it off and I would open my eyes and just like, I didn't, you know, it kind of freaked me out a little bit.
Yeah.
And then from there, it's like, I continued to do it. And all of a sudden I could feel that there was like a spirit in front of me. And so that also was a little bit scary because it's like, oh, whoa, like now I can hear them, but I can, not only can I hear them, I can feel you and I can see you are right in front of my face. Like, you know, like as if you put your face right to mine. So that was kind of a little uncomfortable at first. But then over time, I started to realize that, you know what? They're not trying to hurt me. They just kind of want to be heard. And the fact that I can hear them, it's just, they, maybe they want somebody to talk to. So, that was like my experience. I mean, opening it back up, I did have some bad experiences where I knew they were bad when I would hear the voice get very strong and just very negative. That's basically my experience.
I would say I had some similar experiences in a sense that when I was practicing just like in meditation, and I would feel, you know how even if you can't see somebody standing behind you, but they're standing really close, you can feel that someone's really close behind you.
Right.
It's the same thing, like exactly what you said. I would meditate and I could feel someone standing in front of my face, and it was so close. I would open my eyes just like you did. And I was like, you got to back up. I would tell them like, you're scaring me and that's too close for comfort. So I would get nervous a lot at the beginning until, you know, after practicing for a while, it didn't really bother me. But I did have also some like more negative experiences at the beginning as well. And one of the reasons I heard that this happens, and I don't know if this is really true or not, is that when you first start meditating and you're just starting to like open up your gifts, that you haven't learned yet how to raise your vibration high enough. So it's still kind of low, which is on the same level where you have like maybe more negative spirits, because the energy isn't like as strong like you would have with an angel or archangel with a spirit guide, that it's still super close to the earth. So I was told that that's why it's easy for you to pick up on more negative energy when you're first starting out with meditation. So I always kind of wondered that, but I do have a question for you, because I don't think I ever told you, when I first started practicing and I met my guide, other teachers would step forward, and I knew, I could tell just by looking at them that they were not real teachers, like they were imposters, and I felt like they were mischievous spirits. Did you ever have that experience at the beginning?
So I don't remember like anyone kind of tricking me in that sense, where they're coming in as like, you know, an ascended master or anything like that. But even now, till this day, I'll still get spirits that, you know, will say things to me, and I kind of ignore it because I know they're just spirits that just want to be heard. So I do agree with the whole, you know, like you're, honestly, I feel like if your vibration is low in general, whether you're a person that has been doing this for many, many, many years, you're going to attract negative spirits to come in. I feel like when you do open up your channels, you definitely should be in a positive state of mind. And I know that we're human and we're not always going to be happy, but at least during those times where you're opening your channel, just make sure it's not at a time where you are going through a lot of negativity, because you will draw in negativity. So therefore, what you are hearing, whatever messages you're seeing, could be that you're being misguided. They might not be actual things that are going to happen, as opposed to when you're channeling and you're in a higher vibration, you get all those positive messages. Not that everything in life is positive and you're always going to get a positive message. It's just you want to make sure that you're not being misguided by something else coming through.
Yes, and I totally agree with that. So I'm going to tell you a quick weird story. And I don't even remember if I wrote this in my book or not. I really can't remember, but, and I really have a question for you about this. So when I first started to see my guide and my higher self, which was, I wasn't really expecting any of that to happen. I remember one particular day I was in very deep in meditation, and I walked into this house, and there was this lady sitting in this house that I usually would go in to talk to my guide or my higher self. And she stood up, and I remember myself kind of taking a couple steps back because I knew something was off. And I asked her, you know, who are you? And I remember this like it was yesterday. And she told me her name was Gabriella, and she had on this bracelet, and it was a snake bracelet around her wrist. And I hope this story doesn't creep you out, by the way. I hope you can sleep, girl.
I know, right?
seriously. But I asked her, I was like, what are you doing here? And she said, I came here to teach you. And I knew something was off. And I said, what are you here to teach me? And she said, I'm here to teach you demonology. And I'll never forget that, because I was like, this girl is about to get out the house. I'm about to kick her out. And I did. It was so weird. I literally pointed to the doors that were in the room and they flew open because I was so mad. And I told her to get out. You're not welcome. And the way she looked at me, she was angry. And I kept pointing and it was like this wind. All of a sudden it became super windy and it pulled her out of the room. But once like her spirit was gone, my higher self and my spirit guide came into the room and they were clapping. And I was like, what the hell's going on here? And then my higher self, who I'd never heard speak, because she never spoke to me, she just showed me things. She started clapping and she hugged me and she was so happy. And she said, the Lord God has prevailed. She said it like 10 times and she was so happy, almost crying. And it made me feel like I was tested at the beginning, because I had little occurrences like that when I was first starting out. It's like these weird teachers would come in and I knew something was really off about them and I would tell them to leave. And I don't know why that happened, but it did for a while, but then it kind of stopped. And I know this sounds a little bit delusional, but I always kind of felt like in a past life, did I go to the dark side or something?
Yeah, you know, I've never experienced anything like that, but I do, you know, what's one thing that I did experience when I was opening up to hearing spirits again was, I remember in the beginning, I tried to go to bed and all of a sudden it sounded like I was in a bar. And I swear there were so many spirits in my room. This was when I started opening it up again. It sounded like people were talking over each other. It was so crowded in my room. In fact, I remember my kids used to tell me during that time where I was opening myself up to it again, you know, to being able to hear and see spirits again, my kids used to tell me that when they went to the bathroom, they never liked to look into my room. And I asked them why. And they said, Mommy, there's spirits around your bed.
Well, I will say this, because when I first started practicing and seeing, this is when my crazy ex-boyfriend and I lived in San Francisco in that haunted house. I was in the bed one night and just like you, okay, it was so noisy in the room. I thought the TV was blaring. And I remember I sat up in the bed and I screamed out loud, like, shut up. And I thought there was like a TV on or something. And I realized we don't have a TV. And when I looked around the room, there were spirits all around my bed. And the thing is, Jennifer, none of them had a face, but they all looked at me when I said it. And there was only one girl who had a face. I'll never forget this. And she looked at me and she knew I could see her like in full form. And I was like, oh my God. And I literally put my head like back under the pillow and I kept saying to them, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And then the little girl, there was like a little girl who was, I don't know if she was, God, 7 years old, maybe six. She told her mom, who was like one of the 10 spirits around the bed, that she was going to massage my feet to help me sleep. I could hear her talking and I could feel her fingers on my toes. I will never forget that. And I told her to stop, that I was fine and they needed to go. I will never forget that. So I feel you. I think that that happens, like spirits crowd around your bed.
Yes, I've definitely had that experience where I've had a spirit like touching my feet. But when I remember, it was like, it had to have been two teenagers. It was spirits. And they came into my room and they were laughing. So I woke up to laughing and I felt them like messing with my feet. And then all of a sudden, you know, I opened my eyes. I saw them leave through the wall. But they were laughing as they did it. They were very mischievous teenagers. Spirits just come into my room messing with me. So I have experienced that, you know, the spirits, you know, I said they were kind of like making me out to be the joke.
Yeah.
Playing a little game. Oh, speaking of playing a little game, I used to get kids in my old house that there were two kids in that house, spirits. And they used to like to play a game. And I remember that they used to put stuff on my wall and they used to say things to me. And I could see because, you know, I'm also clairvoyant, so I can see a lot of what they would play tic-tac-toe on my walls and stuff. And it was like a little game to them. Children in that old house.
That's so crazy to me, because when I hear stories like that, I think, are these spirits trapped? Are they allowed? Like, do they get permission to come back here and kind of play around? Like, why are they still here? Especially if they're children, shouldn't they be on the other side in the spirit world with, I don't know, spirit parents or something? Don't you think?
Sometimes I wonder about that too, but sometimes I wonder, I always used to tell my mom that I feel that spirits just walk through, like they're just kind of walking around. They just happen to end up in your house and you just happen to have that light and they can see it, that you're open. And I mean, I remember one time, you know, hanging out with a guy that I was dating a few years ago, and I was sleeping right next to him, and I look up, and you know, the room is pitch black, and there's a man standing right next to the bed. And I tried to close my eyes really fast, like, I hope he didn't see me, that I could see him. And so I closed my eyes really fast. And then I opened it, I was like, damn it, he knew that I saw him. So, you know, and he just stood there all night trying to get my attention. So I remember the next day, this guy that I was seeing, he told me, he goes, hun, he goes, you can't sleep away from your own house, huh? You were up all night.
Oh my gosh.
In the room.
Oh my so God.
They must definitely, I mean, spirits definitely see our light. So I do feel like we attract them regardless of where we go, where we're at. I've also heard of psychics that actually will not go into hospitals and refuse to go into cemeteries. And the reason being is because they attract so many spirits and it's too much for them.
No, I totally believe that. So I have another question. Okay. So there was a viewer, or excuse me, not a viewer, but an audience member who wrote in, because I think she's very nervous about opening up to the spirit world. Like, she's scared of having some of these more negative experiences at the beginning or even in general. So what, I kind of wanted to move onto the topic of, what do you think these mischievous spirits are? Because from time to time, we do have these experiences, whether we see them or if we hear, like, you know, I would say scarier voices, because I've had times where I know there would be like a spirit standing right beside me when I'm sleeping in the bed, and I can hear them laughing at me. And that kind of laughing isn't the kind of like childlike friendly laughter. It's dark laughter. And that has happened on a number of occasions for me. And I know, and I understand that people are very afraid to open up to this work because those types of experiences do happen. So my question for you is, why do you think these things happen? But number two, what are these darker energies? Like, what's your opinion about that?
So why it happens, I feel that the reason it happens is, again, if you're opening up your channel, whether you're a beginner or, you know, a veteran in this, you've been in this, you know, doing this for many, many years, I think it's important to know that if you're not in a good space, if you're not like in good spirits, maybe you have something that's going on in your life, divorce, or somebody just passed away, or you're sad about something, don't open your channels at that time, because you are going to attract lower energies. So you can attract darker stuff. You will attract something that will stay with you until you uplift your spirit. So I think it's very important that whenever you open up your channels, again, whether you're a beginner or a veteran, I do feel that it's very important to make sure that you're in a high vibration, that you are happy or at least in good spirit. So like for me, things that, you know, do something before you open your channel, do something that relaxes you, whether it's meditation or taking a walk along, you know, like a shoreline or the beach, or do something that's going to uplift you. Before you actually open your channel, that could be listening to music, just something that makes you super happy. Because again, if you're in a lower vibration, you're going to attract lower entities.
So what are these lower entities, do you think?
You know, I honestly feel that they're just spirits that just are having a, they could just be having a good time. But there are very dark spirits. And that's the part that I still don't understand is what they really are. Because I've had so many interactions in the past with darker entities, you know, especially while sleeping and being woken up by a dark entity. That's never fun. It's always scary. But at the end of the day, you make them leave just like any other spirit. But that's the thing is, I really couldn't tell you what they really are.
I know. I don't really know either. It's always been kind of a question for me because like you, I've had a lot of interactions too. And of course, very unexpectedly, right? Even I would say personally, even when I think everything's okay in my life, they will kind of come out of the woodworks. And sometimes, Jennifer, and I could be really wrong, but sometimes I do feel like when your light is really shining and when your vibration is so high and when you're helping a lot of people, I feel like they do come to try to like dim your light and scare you a little bit because I'm not really sure I understand this entire world or planet yet, but I do feel like there are darker forces who are trying to make sure that people kind of stay, what's the word? I don't know, like down, keep their beliefs limited. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. I agree with that. In fact, I also feel that like there's a lot of people out here in this world that are down and depressed and they have attachments to them. They have lower energy attachments to them. And of course, as long as that dark entity is attached to that person, they're going to continue to feel depressed and down because that's what they're here to do is keep you down. I mean, just based off of my experience in my line of work, I work with a lot of people. And since I'm very clairsentient, I can feel so many energies and I can sense when somebody has attachments to them. And so me as a light worker, you know, there's even a guy at my job and I can tell when he first started that he had an attachment on him and I did my very best to uplift him. And I always used to tell him, think rainbows and unicorns. And he used to say, what are you talking about? And I'm always like, think rainbows and unicorns, whatever you do, rainbows and unicorns. And then, you know, now that it's been like, I'm going to say about 3-4 weeks that he's been there and like, all the laughter that we do at the job, you know, we're laughing a lot. His spirit is rising. It's not so low anymore. I don't sense anything dark around him. But when he first came in, everybody at the job was saying, you know, I'm really afraid for him. I think he might even kill himself. He's saying weird things. But it literally was because he had an attachment to him. And that's the thing is these attachments, I do feel like will detach from you the moment that you uplift yourself, which is why I feel like it's so important for especially us light workers, when we are feeling down, do everything possible to uplift your spirit. It doesn't matter if it's just listening to a particular type of music, whatever it takes to uplift your spirit, do it. Go shopping. You know, if you have to take a day off from work, do it.
I totally agree. I mean, I completely agree. The only question I have, and, you know, to be perfectly honest, I have never asked my spirit guide because I guess I really don't want to know the answer. But since I know you believe in attachments and so do I, and I think a lot of people do, but here's the question. Okay. You know, if you've been down, yes, it's like, it's easier for a spirit to attach itself to you, to feed off of that negativity and your fear. And then, you know, keep you further down. But my question is, who are these negative spirits? Are they just deceased earthbound spirits like stuck here who are also very negative and need to feed off of your, I don't know, your fear to stay energized in some way? I don't really, that's the part that I don't understand. How does this happen? You know what I mean? How are these spirits, whatever they are here, you know, did we manifest that the negativity, and then did it manifest into this negative energy that feeds off of us? Like, I don't really understand like how that works. You get what I'm saying?
I used to actually believe that we manifested ourselves. But I feel like that's one that even I don't understand still is like, where do they come from? Are we manifesting? I used to think that was my belief system back then is we totally manifest this. And it's the reason why You know, a lot of kids back in the days used to, you know how your parents used to say, oh, you know, if you're bad, the monster's going to get you. And now the belief system is don't ever tell that to your kids because they will manifest that, right? Right. That's a lot. It's like, don't say that to your kids. So even I, with my kids, made sure that the nanny never said that to my children, especially since they're, you know, they're very intuitive. But, you know, that is also something that I'm still unsure of as to what they are and why they're, I mean, the why, the only thing, my opinion is the why they're here is because, yes, they are trying to dim our light. And it's the reason why a lot of light workers, you know, people will, we will attract dark people because those people, it's like, we want to help them, right? Because that's what we're here to do is help those people that, like, I don't know, are going through stuff or whatever. But they sometimes, when we connect with somebody that's darker, like for instance, myself and my ex-husband, he's darker. He's very intuitive, but he's very, you know, on the darker side of intuition as opposed to myself, where I want to help people. He's more greed and, you know, about himself and uses it in a very negative way. I just feel that I almost feel like I ended up with him because he wanted to dim my light. So I feel like we attract these dark people and entities because they do want to dim our light. They don't want us to help. Because imagine, what would this world be like if we could help everyone?
Yeah, I think that's super true as well. And I think it's harder for people who are empaths or clairsentients the most, because it's like, yes, your job is, when you came here, it is to really help people, but that means you have to interact with like darker forces to like heal them and bring light to them, you know? So it's complicated. I feel like it's on the harder end, like a harder job to do. But I did want to say this. I don't want this conversation to scare listeners because I feel like some of these stories, they might be like, oh, hell no, I'm not opening those doors, but that's not our intention. The one thing I really want to say, and I'm glad this listener asked this question, is that for most books that I have read from psychics, none of them, I have yet to read a book from a psychic who talks about having some of these more darker experiences at the beginning or ever in general. It's usually, like you said, you know, unicorns, cotton candy, rainbows, fairies. That's usually what it is. And I feel like it's very unfair. It does a disservice to people when they're first opening up, because it's like they start and then something negative happens and they get scared and they close it because they don't understand it. And I feel like it kind of needs to be spoken about, not as a fear tactic, but just to open your mind and to give you the understanding and support and telling you that you're not alone. These things do happen. And we might not have, you know, a full understanding of why they do, but we might have partial understanding of it. But the one thing I did want to say is you made a very good point that when these negative spirits do come and interact or bother us, we actually do have the power to tell them to leave. Like they can't, in my belief system, I don't believe they can actually really harm you. But I believe we do have the power to tell them to leave and that they have to leave. I don't know if you think that, but I kind of think that.
I do believe that is what I do believe. And from my experience, the moment I tell them to leave, whether you curse them out or whichever way you tell them to leave, by calling in an archangel for assistance or just, you know, whichever way, shape, or form, you know, that you can make them leave, they'll leave. You can even do a prayer. I mean, I've caught myself in the middle of, you know, I'm sleeping and I'm being choked by like a spirit, and then all of a sudden I, coming out of my sleep, hear myself praying. I have caught myself praying, and then boom, just like that, that dark entity is gone.
That's so crazy too. It's just, oh my God, just sometimes it just feels like you're living in another world. You know what I mean?
And you know what, the same thing goes when like their spirits, you know, a lot of times spirits, I'm going to say back then, you know, like maybe a few years ago, spirits used to keep me up at night. And it's like, hey, I have kids. I have to wake up early in the morning and I still have to go to work. So during those times, I would tell them, not now. this is not the time for it. And I would literally say it out loud in my room. Not now. Wait till tomorrow when I wake up. Come back to me then. Not now. This is not the time. I need to sleep. And at one point, I started putting a bubble around my bed so nothing can disrupt my sleep. And ever since I started doing that, I don't really get too much of any spirits coming up to me trying to wake me up. Do I sometimes sense like a spirit is like really needing me at that time or trying to tell me something? Yes. And usually those are the times where either somebody is like about to be sick in my family or there's just something crazy that's about to happen in my life, you know, with my kids, with my family members, or they just really need to let me know something. At those times, I feel a very strong vibration on my bed. That it's so strong that I feel like my bed is literally shaking. So at those times are the times where I do get up and listen. But if it's not like that, then I'm in my bubble.
I do the same thing too. I imagine like a golden bubble around my bed too, for the same purposes, because I don't like to be bothered at all. And I tell my guide, as I'm in the bed creating this bubble, I'm like, look, only you and my angels can come in. Nobody else is allowed to disturb the bubble. I do the exact same thing. So Jennifer, we really only have about 10 minutes left. And I was wondering, because I wanted to end this on a good note. I don't want people to get scared. I just want us to be very real with them. But if you could maybe talk about one or two positive, like obviously there are downsides and upsides to everything, but what are some of the more positive experiences you've had working with the spirit world?
Well, positive would be, let's say, for instance, when I was doing the dog business, spirit was guiding me so I had a dog walking business and I would put dogs in groups of six. And I always had a spirit that was talking to me as I would walk those dogs. And the spirit would tell me if I needed to take a dog out of that group because it was messing up the vibe from the group, or spirit was very much so with me when I needed the dogs to settle down. He would, spirit would tell me exactly what I needed to do in order to get my whole group back to me, because it was off leash walking in the regional parks. And so those were very good experiences. I mean, I even saw, as I took pictures of the dogs as they were running around, I would even see the orbs, beautiful orbs all over in the pictures. So I knew there was always spirits with me as I was walking them. And I remember one time there was a dog that was very, very naughty and it was disrupting the whole group. And I kept, spirit kept telling me, hey, you need to get that dog out of your group, put him in a different group because he's going to really do some damage in this group. And so those were very positive experiences. I'm trying to think. Also at times where I was starting to get down, because I can hear and see spirits would tell me, very positive. It's interesting because a lot of people put positive affirmations in their houses, but I would hear positive things like you have a bright future, or like you're about to come into money, or like that, or even them putting songs in my head when I was starting to let myself go down, especially when I was going through my divorce, and they would put very positive songs in my mind, so that to keep my spirit uplifted. So those were some of the positive things that I can recall.
Definitely. And I think that, just for people who are listening today and, have listened to this whole conversation, the end goal of having the gifts is really to help as many people as possible. And the more you help, the more you will receive help. It may not come in the way you think it will, but it will come. And, like you said, I think our job is to really not just help, but spread the light and spread information to help people remember that, we're not alone. We're really, really not alone. I mean, there's all kinds of things coexisting with us all the time, and that we do have helpers, like our guides are helpers. And that, like you said, they will do whatever they can to encourage and support us and, guide us just through life in general. And, we all know life is kind of hard with certain situations, but the best thing about opening the doors to spirit, despite some of the more negative aspects, is that you do get to meet your guides and you do get to meet your angels and you get to see them and work with them. And when you, I think, Jennifer, sometimes when you know you have that team, it makes it more bearable, like the harder situations. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, you have a support team on the other side, and if you can hear them and see them like cheering for you, it just makes it even better. So I don't think I have anything else for this episode today. I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to add very quick about experiences.
No, I can't think of anything.
I mean, I know we could probably talk for like 3 hours, but since it's been almost an hour, I'm going to cut it short. But I just want to say thank you for joining me today and sharing this podcast with me, because I think people are going to find it super enlightening. There was a lot of information you shared. I feel like we could have just gone off on 3 different topics for like 3 different episodes, to be honest, but we have plenty of time. So anyway, everybody, thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate it. And tune in for our episode next week. Goodbye, Jennifer.
Bye-bye.